I want to begin this morning with just a little extension on the conversation I had with the children a few moments ago, just to ask a little bit of church calendar trivia. I was talking to the kids about all of these different seasons we celebrate, and I wonder if you know which of them is the longest, not counting ordinary time, of course. Oh, I've got an answer in the back. Go ahead. Which one? Eastertide. That's exactly right. That wasn't a plant either in the back there with my daughter. That's right. Advent is 4 weeks, Lent is 6, and Eastertide is 7. And all of it culminates on this day with the ascension of the Lord. There are some rich theological themes that are inherent on this day, like the one that I spoke to the children about, the way in which this day represents the full circle that joins divine and human life, the way that God has dwelt with humanity in the person of Jesus, and now in the resurrected and ascended body of our Lord, humanity dwells with God. It's this beautiful picture about how our life and divine life has been joined for eternity. Another theme of this day is the work that Jesus is doing in this text, and really throughout all of the time after his resurrection with the disciples, of helping them to shift their focus from what Jesus has done to what they will do in his name. Acts 1 opens with this discussion where the disciples ask of Jesus, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And after Jesus very politely essentially says, wrong question, that's none of your business, says to him that what is your business is that you will receive power so that you can become my witnesses. There are enough themes of this day to fill a book, in case you didn't know it. Jerry Van Heest, a RCA pastor, a member of our church, his father wrote a book on the ascension of Christ. I've heard about this book for a long time. I finally got my copy, and I'm eager to read it, but my quick perusal is there's 12 chapters that can talk about the significance of this day alone. For a day that I think really doesn't register on very many people's radars, it's pretty significant, all that we have to reflect on today. But I want to share with you one piece of this passage today that stood out when I was listening to it in recent weeks. And it comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to them. Now, I've always taken this verse by the writer of Luke Acts, it's the same author for both books, as a proofed text for the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that he was physically raised from the dead. The very next phrase includes the very word proof in it. It goes on to say, Jesus presented himself alive to them with many convincing proofs. But when I was hearing it this time, I heard an entirely different purpose behind these words. I didn't hear it as an argument about the physical resurrection of Jesus, but rather as a description of what the Holy Spirit has been doing since the beginning of time. I heard in this verse how this whole season of Easter, and especially this Ascension Day, is a study in resilience and defiance. It is the refusal to let suffering or oppression destroy the work of God's Spirit in the world. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive. And why? So that he could keep speaking about the kingdom of God. That's why he came. To speak about the kingdom of God. To point us toward that realm. To embody for us what it looks like to live in that realm. So when the powers of this world, both political and religious, tried to shut him down, when they did their best to destroy him, when they thought that he was dead and his followers were cowering in fear, when they thought that they could kill his body and therefore kill the kingdom of God, he presented himself alive. That's what the text tells us. And I wrote a note to myself in the margin when I was reading through this about this work of the Spirit, about the work of the Spirit that will not be silenced or held back or shut down, no matter what the powers of the world try to do. And this was my note. She persisted. That is what the story of God's Spirit in the world is all about. A persistence that is both resilient and defiant. After his suffering, he presented himself alive. And make no mistake, this persistence, this power of resilience and defiance, does not just reside in the person of Jesus. This text for today tells us, both in Luke 24 and in Acts 1, that Jesus promises that this power will be poured out on all of us who are his disciples. You will be my witnesses. Now, there was a second phrase that stood out in my hearing of the text this week from Luke 24. It's when Jesus is reminding them of all of the things that he has spoken to them. And then it says in the passage, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And I realized when I read it that the link between the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in the disciples was this moment. It begins right here when Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Because they were fixated on the person of Jesus, about who he was and what he had done. And as he opened their minds to the scriptures and to all that he was teaching about the kingdom, he was shifting their focus to what it is that they would do in his name, who they would be now that he is gone. And as you move through the book of Acts, every single time that the disciples bump up against some kind of barrier, some resistance, the Spirit does this work of opening their eyes, their minds. The story of Peter and Cornelius is a vivid illustration of the power of an open mind. They were having trouble with this mandate to take this witness to the ends of the world because it inevitably took them into Gentile territory. And so Peter, being fixated, as all of them were at that time, on these obscure purity laws from the Old Testament that led them to believe that Gentiles were unclean, so they could not go into their home, they could not share a meal. You stop to think about it, they could not love these particular neighbors as they loved themselves. When the Spirit gave this vision to Peter, it opened up his mind to a whole different set of questions. And it not only changed how he then went back to look at those passages of Scripture, it fundamentally shifted how he viewed the world and the relationships he was going to have with his neighbors. And that is the power of an open mind. And every movement of reform, every milestone of social justice begins with that kind of power. Now, on Tuesday, several of us went to the summit on race and inclusion. And I found over the last several years that those summits are a place where my mind gets opened. And make no mistake, the Holy Spirit will not be limited in the places that the Spirit is looking to make all things new. Peter was in a trance on the roof when the Spirit opened his mind. These disciples in the text today were just gathered with Jesus as he was saying goodbye to them. This opening of mind clearly happens in prayer meetings and in worship services and in Bible studies, for sure. But it also happens as you read books into all kinds of different spheres of life, as you talk with your neighbors, as you make music and create art and do research in labs. For the keynote speaker on Tuesday, Dr. Phil Goff, it happened when he was working with statistics. He talked to us about who he was and called himself a definite geek because he liked numbers, things that explained why things happen. And he had been looking for some statistics that could explain the experience of African-American communities and police departments. He knew lots of anecdotal stories, but he was looking for some research, for some data, and he never found it. This was quite a while ago. So he started to collect it and to analyze it. He now is the director for the Center for Policing Equity, and he is widely respected by police departments across the country for the way in which he brings deep respect to those departments and to the work that they do, and because of the effectiveness of his research being put into practice on police-community relations. So I wish I had time to share with you the full impact of his lecture. I do have a link on the website when it shows up with this sermon so you could hear a lecture he gave about it so you can hear it for yourselves. But this is what I wanted to share with you because I felt as if I was watching the opening of a mind right in front of me. He was reflecting on the obvious increase of racial inequity in our nation. Anything you can measure. Economic factors, educational levels, health indices, incarceration rates, they all show this gap of alarming degrees between racial groups in our nation. And at the same time, racial prejudice is going down. He showed us research from the 30s to today, dramatically going down. So the attitudes of racism going down, but inequity going up. And he wanted to understand why. Now, as someone who was clearly formed in the church, he made mention of his love for the black church. I suspect that there was something from that religious background that stimulated these questions. Maybe it was a passage like Galatians 3:28 that teaches that there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. Some passage like that that led him to look at those stats and say, something's not right here. And he wanted to understand why and what he could do about it. And that is where his mind began to open as he explored the complexities that he was finding in the data. There's far more going on than racial attitudes. And he shared with us what some of those traps are that get us into behavior patterns that are sometimes quite distinct from our actual attitudes that are creating this inequity. He showed how that's been playing out in police departments and how making changes to policies and practices were making dramatic changes on things like the use of force among responding officers. Now, whether he would say so or not, and I think he might, I say it was the Holy Spirit that was opening up his mind to ask questions from a different angle that is actually making an impact on racial equity in this nation. And as someone who cares deeply about that, I felt more hope sitting in his lecture than I had felt in a very long time. On the day of his ascension, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "You will receive power to be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth." A power that Jesus demonstrated with his disciples when he opened their minds to the scriptures. Thanks be to God today for the power of an open mind. And may it be our prayer that the Spirit persists in bringing that power to us and to the church and to every place that God's realm is seeking to break in, which is every single square inch of the entire world. For the ascension of the Lord, thanks be to God.